Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. Today, we're going to talk about empowered ownership. I'm so grateful to have you here with me. Thank you so much for joining. I appreciate you. And we want to help you be empowered in all the things that you have ownership over, both in your life and in your business, especially in your company. How do you take control over, first and foremost, your voice, the things you say and you do in this world? And then next from there, how do you take control over your finances so that your money is working for you and not against you, and so that you're able to afford to do the things that you're meant to do in this world? That then leads us to, how do you take control over ownership over your future so that you don't feel like you're being blown around on the whims of fate, but rather you are fully in control of your destiny, of your future, of your life, of your purpose, and of all the things that it takes for you to live as a thriving entrepreneur. I really absolutely totally want that for you. I'm excited for you as we jump in with these three guests to talk about empowered ownership and how that can help you be the thriving entrepreneur that you are meant to be. Are you ready for it? Let's jump in to our first guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Allison Mullins. Hey, Allison, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Sure thing. I am an entrepreneur. I own two small businesses that I run solo entrepreneur at this time. I'm also a best-selling author. I've written two books in the marketplace, available online and in a couple of stores. And I serve the construction materials industry. Dun, dun, dun. Ooh. So.
All right. So construction materials, one of those industries that you usually think of being a more male-dominated industry. Maybe I'm wrong, but probably. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. I transitioned from textiles and apparel in between 2008 and 2010. Got started working in services community through a company in Spain. And my career has just taken off since then. I feel really, really blessed. I have a passion for working with natural stone. I'm a part of an institute, which is a national organization, but we also do, it's really a global organization because the Institute is based here in the United States, but it expands with quarry groups and people who actually mine surfaces and turn them into the products that you're going to see on buildings, in pools, and patios, and hardscapes, interiors, exteriors. Natural stone is everywhere, but I do have quite a big history in porcelain and engineered quartz and countertops and the kitchen and bath industry as a whole. So big category, construction materials.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some absolutely beautiful and some really ugly ones. I know you've seen both sides of that fence when you come to countertops and stuff like that. How do you help a person transition from those old, really ugly? I actually worked on a production line for, you know, the old, whatever you call that, vinyl type of top things. Micah? Way back in the day. Yes.
Solid, yes. Surface?
Oh, yeah. How do you get people to transition to that, to going with things that are, you know, more elegant, more beautiful looking and that kind of thing when they've had those old countertops forever?
I often attune the selection for kitchen and bath. I haven't worked in kitchen and bath in quite a few years, but I often attune the artistic value that a person has in their home with the type of countertops that they're going to choose. And I also have a weird association with finishes. I'll tell you about that if you'd like, but especially with natural stone. So I've done quite a bit of sourcing, building containers for clients who are importing natural materials. And I have found a weird association with mountains. So I'm from Appalachia originally, Appalachian author, and from Southwest Virginia. And of course, we have tons of mountains in Virginia. I still live in Richmond, Virginia today. And I have found that, especially Mid-Atlantic, Rocky Mountains, Pacific Northwest, wherever you find mountainous territory, I find that we have a lot of customers who are interested in incorporating textures into their countertops or finishes, fireplaces. They want leathered granites, bolder colors, more movement within the stone. And that's really quite the contrast from like big metropolitan cities where you see a lot more modern and simplistic style. So.
I totally love that. So I know that your two books are about selling and the art of selling and those kind of things. Is that because of what you learned in the construction industry, or just something that you're passionate about, or what led you to write those books?
Sure. I mean, I've been passionate about sales, I think, since I was in elementary school. The opening passage of my first book, it talks about how I used to stand in the bathroom mirror and pretend that I was teaching a class on, self-care, if you will. So like hairspray or shampoo or even deodorant, like I would tell the mirror why this particular product was so great. So I kind of had this vision for myself as a kid, selling something on QVC. I really idolized those women. Of course, I grew up in a small town. We barely had cable, so TV wasn't, super wide variety that it is today. And sales for me, I think, is just in my blood from those early years. I became a personal shopper. I've done telemarketing. I did that in high school. So the cold calling thing, got a lot of experience there. When I moved from New York and transitioned out of apparel, I couldn't find a job because it was 2008, and 2008 was just such a rough year. Come to find out, even in the building industry, it was just a terrible, terrible year, and you couldn't get jobs anywhere, financial, real estate. I think I was applying for just about anything that would come my way. And I ended up at a clothing store for an entrepreneur woman, a woman-owned business, and she had a very, very high-end luxury clientele. So a lot of my merchandising tips and tricks come from sort of that textiles and product background. But the books really are a passion about my industry's lack of training regimes that are available in these very small mom and pop and family-owned style businesses. Now, stone distributorships are getting more corporatized today in 2025. And that's been a movement that we've seen in the last 5 to 7 years. But when I got started in the business, a lot of construction material companies, even doors and windows, are mom and pop owned companies, stone fabricators, people who are actually installing the granite in your home. Those are mom and pops. It's a husband and wife team, or a sister and brother team, or cousins, family members. People open branch locations because they've got a brother in Boston who started doing this 10 years ago. This, the expansion of the retail locations for service-based businesses, primarily don't have HR departments. They don't have sales training. And as I have grown up in this industry, I've learned from some really wonderful people. So I decided to try and wrap all of that up into some tools for our industry. And it does cross boundaries and cross lines, I will say. So.
So, what is the one thing that you wish all salespeople were doing that most of them aren't?
Just got off of a coaching call 5 minutes ago, so this is a great topic for us. I wish that people would stop sending generic emails, and I want salespeople today, especially a younger generation, to realize that like AI is not the answer for interpersonal relationships. We are going to need to talk to each other in person and having, I use ChatGPT all the time. AI is a huge time saver for me as an entrepreneur, and I'm not saying it's not a game changer, but it doesn't work when it comes to sales. And I know personally I'm bombarded every day with spam emails, and they're all written by bots or people who are just copy and pasting, and there's just no personalization whatsoever. And people don't understand that you've got to have an ask, you've got to have a call to action, something that's tangible and meaningful for a person to want to pay attention to you in this day and age, especially with how we're getting bombarded today. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was having a conversation about an hour and a half ago that I told the person I think that we're going to actually see the sales industry move back to potentially even going all the way to door-to-door salespeople again,
I think so
just
too.
for
Oh my
that
gosh.
connection, you know?
I think we're starved for that connection. So maybe I'm in the right place. You know, maybe this is, you know, a divine path. I believe I was set forth to help develop the next generation, younger generation. In fact, if you'll allow me, Steve, you know, by the time we're done talking here today, I'll tell everybody about what I'm doing in my local community to support. Excuse me, support workforce development. But I do believe that we're going to go back. You know, we're going to need it because there's going to be so much computer and AI, and people are just going to be starved for human interaction.
Oh, I agree completely. And now you got me completely curious. Do tell us, what are you doing in your local community?
Great. So I have a passion for workforce development. It was a gift that was given to me in a dream. And I was able to start applying that through one of my local National Association of Women in Construction groups. We have done a camp 3 years in a row for young girls, seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, to teach them methods of construction and just general home maintenance, building walls, electric, tile, flooring, drywall, basically essentials that you would need to, you know, own a home someday. But more importantly, for the sales community, I am doing my very first full day workshop in September here in Richmond, Virginia. And I've partnered with Henrico County Schools. So we do have several surrounding counties, but Henrico has got a CTE program already established at the Regency Mall area in Richmond, Virginia. And together with Henrico County Schools, we're going to offer an internship program just for my trade and construction materials groups, tile shops, floor shops, granite shops, wholesalers, plumbing supply stores, interior designers, kitchen and bath studios, architects. Anybody who wants to participate, you'll be able to have an insured intern to come on your property and work in the fall, thanks to this event. It's a matchmaking event, as well as they are going to walk away with sales training skills and marketing training skills that come from my books. So we're going to actually train them, hopefully place them into potential future jobs, and start developing the workforce one session at a time. And I do hope to do this event twice a year, in the fall and in the late spring. So May of 2026 will be the next one. And I'm sure I'm going to make some mistakes along the way, but I'm really, really excited about putting my proof in the pudding, as they might say.
Oh, I absolutely love that. That is really cool stuff. And we need to pass it on to the next generation. I think we need to even just have a basic course on how to introduce yourself and have a, an offline conversation and connection with people.
Absolutely. Target marketing, researching, you know, you can get nitty-gritty into some of the details of the sales. But yes, you're right. There probably also needs to just be a course on how to introduce yourself and how to do it without looking like an idiot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love it. So, what kind of things beyond the stuff you're doing in your local community, what kind of things do you work with people on? You said you did a coaching session. So, what kind of stuff do you coach people on?
Sure. So I have a workshop that I can do for small businesses. And typically, like my perfect customer would have 5 to 10 employees, some of which are in sales and some of which may not be, but need to learn how to be salespeople as well. Truck drivers need to learn how to be salespeople. Warehouse people need to learn how to be salespeople. So it's not just for that forward-facing customer. I do workshops with companies, and then we'll typically identify one or two individuals who want to do some longer-term coaching. And I do those coaching sessions one-on-one. So meeting the salesperson exactly where they're at. We identify some mindset issues, some challenges that they're facing on a day-to-day basis, and we work slowly, typically in 3 and 6 month adventures. I do have a couple of clients who have gone a full year, and some take a break after 6 months, and then they'll come back, 3 months later. And then I also offer boot camps with businesses who want me to spend some one-on-one time with a particular an individual salesperson. So I'll actually go on site for a week, do some ride-alongs, do some tailoring, really teach them from my heart the best methods for how to be a great inside showroom or outside sales manager prospect. So that's the business. It's workshops, seminars, coaching, and boot camps.
And if a person would like to have you come in and work inside of their business, where do they go? How can they contact you?
Absolutely. I built a website. I also have another small business that do a lot of marketing stuff. So I really am a one person, one size fits all business, but you can visit me at www.rep, methods, methods.com. And I would love to help solve some problems for you. It's what I do best.
I love it. And the books are under the name Allison L. Mullins, Allison with one L, just in case people are wondering.
Yes.
Allison L. Mullins on Amazon. Well, Allison, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for helping me get the word out, Steve. That is the best type of marketing I could ever ask for.
How do you learn what a person wants? Listen to what they're saying, and then learn to really help them be able to get what they need versus just having some kind of a situation where, the only time you're ever going to make a sale is when somebody just basically walks up to you, grabs you by the throat, and says, "Hey, I want to buy something." I hope that you can do better than that. What a really fun and amazing story Allison has. And I hope you learn for something about how you can take empowered ownership over the elements of your life and be a thriving entrepreneur. Let's take a quick commercial break and then we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you, I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. We're talking about empowered ownership, taking control of your voice, your finances, and your future. Allison talked to us about how we can make order makers and not order takers, and about her work as a female working in the construction industry with products and materials and things like that. Next, we're going to move on to our next guest and learn some new secrets on how we can take a look at some of the things in our finances and we can have empowered ownership over those. With that said, let's jump right in to our next guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Doug Peacock. Hey, Doug, how are you doing today?
Hey, Steve. It's great to talk to you, buddy.
So great to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, I was actually a football coach for about four decades, and then my retirement didn't go like it was supposed to or like I was told it would. And so I had to learn some inconvenient truths. And as I did, I learned out a lot of other people didn't know those either. So I just started sharing that, particularly with my former players who had a whole lot of student loan debt. And so we started getting guys out of student loans with what we do. And it worked great and has exploded since then.
Debt, man, especially when you start talking about student loans. I know some people that are in their 40s and 50s that are still paying their student loans back. What is some secrets that you've learned to be able to help people get rid of that crazy stuff?
Well, I think you got to understand, first of all, you got to come from an attitude that our financial system is broken. And if you don't believe that, then I'm not sure I can help you, nor can anybody help you. It's just that we're sold on debt. And for example, an average rate of return. If you start with $10,000, have a really, really great year, have a 100% return. Now you have $20,000, but next year's disastrous at minus 50. So you're back to $10,000, but yet your average return is 25%. So your broker, your advisor tells you, congratulations, you have a 25% average return. You feel really, really good, but you got no more money. That's totally legal, but in my opinion, just wrong. And until you understand and take control of your money, somebody else will.
Wow. That is, yeah, I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow, but I'm very true as well. So what's kind of like step one? I mean, what's something that somebody listening right now could understand and start doing themselves?
Well, I'm not sure this is a do-it-yourself process, Steve. I will tell you the truth. I think everybody needs a storehouse. I think everybody needs some place to store money until the opportunity comes along that you're looking for. I know you do a lot with entrepreneurs. And, you know, we as an entrepreneur, we see a lot of deals, but we also know some of those deals are real marginal. So you just got to have a place to stash your money. Now, what do you want that money to do? How about guaranteed growth? And it's guaranteed to grow more next year than it did this year. Tax-free growth, that's even better. Liquidity, in other words, I can access that money without taxes, without penalties. It's private, so in other words, it's off of the radar screen of all the creditors, as well as the Internal Revenue Service. And it's possibly millions of dollars for tax-exempt cash flow during retirement that never has to be claimed as income. Now, if your storehouse can't do that, then I've got one that does. And my storehouse is an asset with uninterrupted, guaranteed compound growth each and every year that cannot, will not go backwards. It's growing tax-favored as long as I own it in a 200-plus-year-old asset called dividend-paying whole life insurance.
I love it.
We probably just lost half of the listeners because I said the I word, the
Evil
insurance
insurance
word.
word. Well, explain to people what the difference is between just even the basics, term life and whole life, and what you're
Okay.
talking about versus the thing you see on TV that's like it's only $9 a month, blah blah blah.
Well, and they're not lying. Okay. So $9 a month, there's going to be very, very limited death benefit and stuff like that. Term insurance is what most people are most knowledgeable about. The problem is you have to participate for that to ever pay off. In other words, you got to die. And that's not winning in my book as a coach or a money guy. So let's find a way to use the money and that storehouse that we decide to put it in. I want you to understand this is life insurance. Cash value life insurance is called permanent life insurance. The one that I want you to use is called the old whole life. It's not universal life. It's not variable life. It's not indexed universal life. It's none of those. It's the old whole life. And if you want to talk about that, we can, but it's not a conversation for here. But that's the one that should be used. I want people to understand this is not an investment. Okay? It's life insurance. But the problem is, very few people understand what it can be used for. The difference between insurance and investment determines how the IRS is going to treat that money with taxes. Now we got everybody's attention because nobody likes taxes. It's wild that, Paul Atkins was just named the new chair of the Security Exchange Commissions, and yet he had an article that he owns 54 life insurance policies. What does he know that we don't? All right. That's an amazing stat.
Yeah, that is. Makes you wonder what does he know that we don't?
Well, I mean, so what's he using them for? Storehouses, right? The guaranteed growth every year. It's tax-free growth, liquidity. It's off the radar screen of creditors, predators, and most judgments, IRS. And the bottom line is with 54 policy, he has millions of dollars of tax-exempt cash value that he can use in retirement that never has to be claimed as income. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I like that.
What if you retired and didn't have to file a tax return? And you've never heard that before.
No, definitely not.
So, yeah, I mean, life insurance has got a bad name by a lot of people. But I want to let's talk about banks for a minute because we can generally all agree that banks know how to make money, right? They own
Yes.
the tallest buildings downtown. They own most prominent street corners on our communities. The crazy part is, do banks buy the fee-laden mutual funds or the target date funds or the CDs or the money markets that they pawn to us? Not at all. So where do banks keep their wealth? It's called BOLI, BOLI. That stands for bank-owned life insurance. Banks are the number one purchaser of cash value life insurance on the planet. They are tier one assets for the bank. Okay? That means they must be safe, dependable, and not at risk. That's crazy. FDIC reports that about 3,800 banks own more than $190 billion worth of cash value life insurance. Why? The same things we've been talking about. Guaranteed growth each year, tax-free growth every year, liquidity without taxes, without penalty, accessibility, right? It's private. It's for their corporation. Bank of America has $22 billion of cash value life insurance on their books. Citibank a little over six. JP Morgan Chase 11 billion. Wells Fargo over 19 billion. In the Great Depression, the Federal Reserve said about 9,000 banks went under. Less than 2% of insurance companies during that time were ever financially impaired. Go back to the Great Recession, 450 banks went under. Less than 1% of insurance companies were ever impaired, zero bankruptcies from the insurance companies, and no bailouts, not a dime. That sounds like some extraordinarily strong corporations to me.
Not to mention the fact that, the banks have figured out how to be able to get you to deposit your money into their bank, and then they go out and they buy. I mean, because the insurance policies would have to be on somebody. They're
Yeah.
not insuring the building,
Nope.
because the building is never going to die. I mean, it could get knocked down, but it's never going to die.
Correct.
So they're actually literally taking board of directors and people like that and getting policies on them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
Wow.
right. Now, the corporation can own the policy. Okay. So it doesn't have to be individually owned. So your corporation or your company can own that, or even a trust, which can outlive people. Trust can own these policies also. That's phenomenal generational wealth transfer, because death benefits are tax exempt. Wow.
Yeah.
Now you might run into an estate tax issue. That's a whole problem, because when we start talking about billions of dollars, and even as the tax laws stand today, you're going to have an estate problem. So we got some answers there too, but that's not the time or place for it right now. The reason it's not do it yourself, and I want to back up to that just a little bit. You got to make sure you're using a mutual life insurance company, because they're the strongest companies on the planet. We only use A-rated companies. They must be 100 or more years old, and they have to have had paid a dividend each and every one of those years. That's phenomenal. I mean, how many companies do you know that have paid a dividend 100 consecutive years? I mean, I can show you companies that didn't earn it for two. Okay, so can you, right? So now let's do the math. Let's just go crazy, because this is the football coach in me. I want to back up and say, wait a minute. That means that somebody got a dividend check in the Great Depression. So that means, where did they cash it? Because all the banks were closed and going under. All right. I don't have a good answer there. I don't know what happened, but it's amazing that if you will use those mutual companies. And so why mutual? Because they have no stockholders. So when these companies declare a dividend, it can't go to stockholders because there aren't any. But yet now you can turn around and give that dividend to your policy owners. Oh, that's you and me. Well, now all of a sudden I can put that right back in my policy. No sales charge, no extra cost, no nothing. Tax exempt, tax free, everything's good. And my policy continues to grow ever and ever. Once it hits my cash value, it's guaranteed to grow just like every other dollar in there. Dividends are not guaranteed. Okay, that's my legal part that I got to get out of the way. But the truth is, once they're declared and once they're deposited into your account, they grow just like every other dollar.
So many things to unpack, but I
Oh,
mean, and I do see why you're saying this is not something you'd want to do yourself, because you would want to have a one-on-one discussion with Doug and talk about what should be the face value of the policy, how much of it are you putting in, how often, all of those kind of cost things that are definitely calculated on
Right.
a whole lot of different things.
Let me
So
tell you
let's.
something, though. We kind of design them very differently than what you're used to. Okay, these policies, they are maximized, they are engineered for maximum cash value. Okay, with decreased commissions and decreased death benefit, because that's where the costs are at. So we minimize the cost while building your cash value. The result of that is that your cash value is going to grow 8 to 40 times faster than traditional policies. And the crazy part is it's available in 30 days. That's a great place to storehouse your money. And that's exactly what we use.
That's amazing. So, Doug, tell us, where does a person go? How do they work with you? What, how does that process work?
Well, you literally have two options. You can go to website. It's peacockwealthgroup.com. Okay. All no spaces, none of that. That's the website. The easiest way is phone number. It's 317-697-6321. Okay. I will tell you right now, if I don't know you, you will have to leave a message, but I will call you back. I get plenty of phone calls I don't want to answer. But if you'll leave a message, I'll get back with you.
Give us one kind of word of encouragement before we let you go about how possible it is, regardless of your age, to be able to still storehouse some wealth.
Well, the banks are right now making triple digits off of your deposits into a savings account. Why don't you do that? And then you control the money, you get to keep it, you get to control it, you get to grow it, and you get to use it. And the other part that we didn't get into is these are leverageable. In other words, I can leverage this policy for cash to go pay off a student loan. That's what I did with, that's what I showed how all my players how to do. And they literally leverage the policy. When I do that, however, I'm not borrowing my money because I want my money to grow. So I borrowed the insurance company's money. Well, now I go kill Sallie Mae, but yet my money continues to grow. Now I'm going to pay back that policy loan that I had from the insurance company at a simple rate. Okay, and now I make the arbitrage off of that. There's a fancy word for you that just means there's a difference. There's a difference between compound interest and simple interest. And when I was a football coach, I did not understand that. Okay, now I teach that every day.
Well, tell us just a little bit, what is the difference between compound and simple?
Well, a compound is going to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And simple is once you pay that interest, that money's not counted anymore. Say when I pay a payment, okay? So it's not going to grow. Like your credit card is not simple interest. Okay? So once you pay the interest, that amount is done for the year. And if you pay the loan off, you don't owe them any more money.
Well, Doug, there's so much more that we could go into.
Oh,
We've,
it's a deep rabbit hole. Yes, sir. It is.
absolutely. Give us your contact information again one more time.
Sure, it's peacockwealthgroup.com or phone number is 317-697-6321.
Perfect. Well, Doug, thanks for what you do, and thanks so much for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Absolutely, Steve. I appreciate your work. Thank you, sir.
Student loan debt is insidious. I don't know if any of the rest of you have been through where you had a student loan that maybe was in default, that it followed you forever. You went to go buy your house and you had to deal with that noise before you could get any kind of funding or any of those kind of things. It can just be crazy stuff. And so I love that Doug is helping people really understand, in what I agree is a very broken financial system, how can you take charge over it? You can be empowered and have ownership over it and make the difference in your finances so that you can live the future. It's really hard to keep your lights on. Rather, it's really hard to be the light of the world when you can't keep your lights on. I knew I could get that quote right. Thanks for listening. I really, really want that for you. We are going to take our next commercial break and then we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today as we talk about empowered ownership, taking control of your voice, your finances, and your future. How do you do those kind of things to be able to really truly show up in this world as the person that you're meant to be? This next guest is really going to jump in for us, and he's going to help us really learn how to own our voice, how to use it, and how to powerfully show up in the world as the you that you're meant to be. I'm looking forward to bringing this to you. Let's jump right in to our next guest here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Join me in welcoming Israel Duran. Hey, Israel, how you doing?
Doing very well, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you here with us. First off, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
You know, I'm all about service and speaking, and those two go together because I personally believe that being a servant or serving others is an incredible, you know, gift. But the highest level of service, I believe, is actually speaking. So I work with authors, entrepreneurs, CEOs who want to use speaking as a vehicle to grow their companies and serve their market.
That's amazing. What are some of the primary kind of things that you do to help people meet those?
Well, the first thing is to really get clear on what their message is, right? Many times when I'm working with people that have experience, education, or expertise in a certain area, they have a lot of gifts and they have a lot of different directions that they can take. And you know how it is when you go to a restaurant and you pick up a menu and you see many options on there, right? Like I was at a diner the other day and I looked at the menu and I was like, man, there's so many options. I just waited for the waiter to come and say, hey, what's your favorite thing? And I chose that because when we have too many options, it could create like it could paralyze us, right? So a lot of the people I work with, they have a lot, they got incredible gifts, like I said, but they just need clarity on really honing in on that true message that's going to really like open things up for them and like allow them to have the inroads to then release the other messages or supporting, assets and projects that they have and they want to bring to the world. But it typically starts with like one main thing that they have to release.
Clarity is so powerful. So how do you help a person who feels like they're a little bit lost find what that one thing for them is?
Well, you know what? I'm a big believer in laws and principles. You know, like the law of gravity works 100% of the time, right? Depending if you're here, if you're in Kansas, if you're where you are, if you're overseas, the law of gravity works 100% of the time. So I love to teach people principles and laws that help them get clarity on how success works and when it pertains to business and what I call inheritance wealth building. You know, I'm a big believer that, you know, we're in business to serve and to make an impact and also to take care of our family's family. And, you know, there's laws that govern that, right? There's laws that govern the wealthy and being able to leave inheritance. And I always like to teach people this education because then when they have the right education, they have the right information, they can make the right choices. And it always unlocks more clarity on what those choices are, right? That are in their best interest and for what they're looking to accomplish.
So for the people listening, let's dive into it. What is something that a person could do right now today to kind of begin to identify, the elements of that or some of the things that might be showing up that are helping them see what that one thing is?
You know, I would love to teach on what we call the principle of impact, Right, because a lot of the people that I work with, especially those CEOs and entrepreneurs, and people that have gone from the corporate space into their own business, they primarily are about impact, right? They want to make an impact, right? And one of the things with impact is that it just doesn't happen by accident, right? Like if people want to reach hundreds of thousands of people, they're going to need millions of dollars to do so, right? Or even if you want to reach tens of thousands of people, you're going to need millions of dollars to do so. So there's actually a law that works every single time, 100% of the time, just like gravity, that doesn't matter if you're overseas, if you're here, if you're, just getting started, if you're advanced. Like if you follow the law, right, you'll see the breakthrough of the resources to then allow you to make an impact. I would love to go over those four steps if you'd like.
Yes, please do.
Step number one starts with education. And I know people listening may say, of course, yeah, education's key. But it's not just any education. It's not like college education, even though I've been, I'm sure Steve, you also have your own conversation with college. I have my master's degree, sociology degree. Like I have those, right? But that's not what I mean by education. I'm referring to specialized education, learning from someone that has already done what you want to do, and then, doing what you need to do to learn from them, right? And listen to what they're teaching, right? So it starts with that. Once you have the right education, when it comes to wealth building or inheritance building, the second step is what we call systems development or what we call leveraging systems in the market, right? The best way I could describe this, and I know you have a marketing company, so you understand this 100%, is building out systems where people are visible and then they create value with those systems, and we create what we call value systems that we're producing or we're giving away or we're educating the market in the area that we want to serve. And this is so important because it's not just about having a book, it's not just about having, a webinar, but it's having a strategy behind what systems to develop to get your message out there in front of the right people that then you can unlock number three, which step number three is influence, being able to unlock influence over those people. And influence is not something negative, and it's not about manipulation. Influence is actually the measurement of leadership. And I could always tell true leaders based on their influence. And influence is actually something that has to do with three underlying principles. Like anytime somebody asks me, Israel, how do I grow my influence? I tell them these three every time. I say, number one, it's about building strength because no one's going to follow a weak leader, right? I always talk about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, in one of the battles, his whole team, his whole army was running away. They were retreating from the battle. Then they saw Alexander the Great on this chariot, on this horse, and he has a sword in his hand, and he's like riding into harm's way. He's riding to the enemy. His army looks, and they're like, we can't leave him alone, and they run back with him. And by the way, they were losing the battle, and they actually won the battle. The point there is no one's going to follow a weak leader. So influence is key and having the strength, right? Depending on your strength and your perseverance, that will help you increase your influence. Number two is empathy, right? Being able to have empathy and connection and being able to really, have cognitive empathy, like you're aware and you care about the people that you're overseeing or you're working with. And then number three is compassion. Compassion is really one of those gifts, I believe that I personally believe that compassion is the mountain and the fountain where all miracles flow from. And every great leader that I know, they have compassion and they move with it, right? So step number three, again, is influence. Because once you have that influence over the people that you're serving, that you're being value to, then step number four becomes possible. And then step number four is actually the monetization part. And then once you monetize, once you have the revenue in your company, your organization, then you're able to go ahead and make an impact. And that's the principle of impact.
Absolutely love that. That's really good stuff. And I think some people probably need to, if they're listening to the recorded version of this, rewind it. If not, go and find where it is recorded and re-listen to that a couple of times because there's some really good nuggets in there. What would you say is the one thing that keeps people from letting themselves make the impact that they were born to make?
Themselves. The number one thing that I've seen that leaders struggle with, the things that hold them back are themselves. Typically, they're in their own way. Right there, it's kind of like, you know, why, you know, the path is smooth. Why do we throw stones at it? Right. And many times they're in their own way because there's blind spots that they have, like all of us, right? Israel, David Duran, myself, I can't be objective with myself. That's why I have managers, I have agents, I have directors that oversee me that help me manage what I myself and my company and everything I do because I have blind spots. And just like when you're driving a car and you can't see that left side, unless you're driving a Tesla, right? But every other car pretty much has blind spots, right? And we need mirrors to show us what's in our way so we can address them.
That's a whole nother radio show that we could do just in identifying and knowing what to do with those blind spots. So, talk to me a little bit about the ways that you begin to start working with people and how they can work with you.
You know, I would love to give everyone here, with your permission, a gift. You know, and this gift is something we actually charge for, but I'm not going to charge, you know, anybody listening here for this or you. I would want to give them this gift because this gift is what we call our online business blueprint. And it's the first step that if somebody were interested in working with us, they would have to go through it anyways. And I would just want to give it to your people with no attachment, like no second thing needed. And this online business blueprint is going to go over other laws that are going to help to give more clarity when it comes to growing businesses, organizations, and really making an impact both online and in person with what you're looking to do. And all they have to do, Steve, is in order to bypass the paywall, they have to find me on Instagram, right? And I'm very easy to find, right? They just type Israel Duran, Israel, like the country, and Duran, Duran. They find me on Instagram. It's Israel Duran and Associates. That's my tag. And they direct message me one word. All they have to do is direct message me the word blueprint. If they direct message me the word blueprint, we'll send over the online business blueprint at no cost.
That is so awesome of you. We really appreciate that. Well, before I let you go, give us some words of encouragement as to, regardless of how current situations may seem, how powerfully a person is and how much their influence is needed in this world.
You know, I always tell people when they ask me a question similar to the question you asked me, or they ask me, "Hey, Israel, what can you leave the audience with?" My answer is always the same. The number one thing that you need to focus on is to discover your gift and begin serving it now. You see, so many times we go around and we compare ourselves with others. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves, and we're like, "Well, we're not as talented as so and so. We don't have this." You need to stop looking outside of yourself and look inside of you. And ask yourself, what do you have? What stories do you have? What history have you gone through? What can you share with others that can help them bypass a problem, maybe learn from a mistake, and maybe get to where they want to be sooner rather than later, right? One of my mentors, Dr. Miles Monroe, he passed away in 2014 in a plane accident. He used to say this a lot, and I love quoting him as well, Steve. He used to say, "The most wealthiest and richest place in the world is actually in the graveyard, because there are the books that were never released. There were the businesses that were never established. There were the nonprofits that were never launched. There were the ideas that were never, you know, integrated, right? There's so much people that live this life, Steve, so many people that live this life, and they rob humanity. They rob humanity of their gifts, of their talents, of their abilities." And I believe it's time for a generation to rise up, if you're listening to this, for you to release your gift to the world and don't let yourself get in your own way.
Oh, Israel, we're so just completely, totally in line. And I appreciate all of that that you just said to everybody. Thank you so much for all that you're doing and for spending some time with us here on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You have to own your voice, use your voice, spread and share your message. You are the only person in this world that can be you. And I encourage you to do the things that you need to do to take that empowered ownership over it and use your voice to make the impact in this world that only you can make. We are going to take one more commercial break and then we will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today. We spent this whole entire hour talking about empowered ownership, taking control of your voice, your finances, and your future. We want to do all of that because, as I say to you every week, you are uniquely brilliant. You absolutely were created for a purpose, and the world needs you. We need you to be the strong, powerful, amazing, incredible, totally cool you that you are. Absolutely. Please share your voice with the world. Take empowered ownership over the work that you do, over the finances in your life. Do those kind of things because literally somebody's waiting on you. Somebody needs who you are. I want to see you share your voice, both spoken, but of course, you know what I do is I work with people on their books. And I want to see you put that book out into the world. And then once it's out, because getting it written, that's the easy part. Getting it to bestseller, that's even easier, actually. But then having it continue to last, to show up, to make a difference, to make an impact, that's empowered ownership. You don't just discover your voice and then hide it under a barrel, but rather you use that voice to do the things, to be the change, to say the things that only you can say in a way that makes an impact. Somebody's waiting on you. Somebody needs you to take empowered ownership over who you are and all that you do so that you can show up in their lives when they need it. Show up with the solution that they probably don't even know to know, because they don't have your experiences, they don't have your unique brilliance, and they need you to share it with them so that they too can live as a thriving entrepreneur. Oh, I want that for you. I'm so grateful that we got to spend some time together today talking about empowered ownership and just really looking at the concept of what it means to live as a thriving entrepreneur. And now, even though we're leaving, I'll be back here again with you next week. And until we are, I hope you're happy, safe, warm, and loved. And then until we're together again, you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Hi, my name is Steve Kidd. I am a third generation minister, an international best-selling author of multiple books, and I help people write, publish, and market their books to bestseller. In fact, there are literally thousands of people that have used the system that I created to be able to write, publish, and market their books, and now they're best-selling authors, and you're next. I just wanted to come on for a minute, say hi to you, tell you a little bit about me, introduce myself, and tell you I know the world is waiting on your message, and I would be so honored to be part of sharing your message with the world. Go to AskSteveKidd.com and schedule a time to talk today.